Welcome, all you liars, infidels, and fools. My name is Haley.
And my name's Brandy. And we are Easy Killer.
Easy Killer.
Easy Killer.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Welcome to Easy Killer.
Easy Killer.
It is St. Patrick's Day week.
Yes, it is. And
Brandy just reminded me.
I had to bring it up because I've almost forgot too. I was looking over and I seen some shirts and I was like, huh, it's almost St. Patty's Day. Yeah, I never understood that.
What about what?
The green beer. Does it taste like green beer or
no? It's actually just regular beer with green food coloring in it.
Oh, well, yeah, that's just upsetting.
Disappointing.
Imagine you're pooped the next couple days after that.
Well, actually, I do know something you can drink that will make your poop green. Grape soda.
Yeah, that's the truth.
You don't believe you guys, me, Google it.
Yeah. If you have a bowel movement and you drink some grape,
it's going to be green.
It's going to be really green. Like Happy St. Patrick's Day.
A Mountain Dew shit.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
Well, we got a really sad case tonight, you guys.
Yeah, that went from zero to no fun.
I had to talk about poop for a little bit to lighten the mood because this next one's going to be, it's a really sad case.
It's not necessarily gruesome.
No.
At all. And it's not, and I will say, it's not the most compelling story you're ever going to hear.
Right. I mean, I'm interested, but I think a lot of...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, no, you're fine. I said, I just think that the reason why I am interested in it because it's like a biggest fear. It's a big fear of mine.
Yes,
you know?
It's every parent's worst nightmare, literally.
It sure is.
And I have been invested in this case, following this case, since I was 8 years old.
Right.
When I saw this on Unsolved Mysteries. Which
shout out to Unsolved Mysteries.
We will talk about them later.
Yeah, because we're kind of upset.
But anyways, yeah. So the story that we are going to talk about tonight is the disappearance of Morgan Nick. And this happened in Alma, Arkansas. So a little bit of background about Morgan. She was only 6 years old, so she doesn't really have a whole lot of a background, you know, but, she was born on September 12th, 1988, in Ozark, Arkansas. And her parents, John and Colleen Nick, thought that they were having a boy, but at the last minute, and when I say the last minute, literally when they pulled the baby out.
Oh, no.
They found out she was a girl, which is exactly what happened with me when I was born. My parents thought.
Oh, my God, really?
I think that was just like a common thing that happened back in the day. Because, like, you know, sonograms and stuff weren't.
Yeah, you covering
what
up
they
or
are now.
Showing your thumb.
So my parents thought that I was a boy. My name was going to be Andrew Tyler.
Oh, man. My name was going to be Stevie. Could you imagine? My mom was really into Stevie Nicks, I guess, because my dad was named Steven. My brother's named Steve. My brother was named Steven. And then they want to name me Stevie. The frick? What?
It's kind of cute.
It is cute. I wish I would have had it now. It's kind of different.
Yeah. No, it's not horrible. So Morgan was not an only child. She had two younger siblings. She had a brother named Logan, who was 3 and a half, and a little sister named Taryn, who was 22 months old.
Mm-hmm.
She was described by her family as a vibrant six-year-old that loved cats.
Right. She wanted to be like a doctor and a circus performer, too.
Yeah.
They said.
Yep. Doctor and a circus performer, which I think a circus performer is kind of a cool career.
Heck yeah. That would be cool.
It's kind of a random aspiration to have at 6 years old. But, I mean, the little girl had ambition, you know? So.
Yeah.
She did not like to play outside. She was not an outside type of child, which I can identify with because I wasn't either. She hated the sweat.
Oh, God, me too, girl.
Which I'm sweating right now, and I just turned my fan on, and I'm like, literally, like, I think I might turn it back on because I'm roasted.
Like, I feel like sweating's for poor people.
It is.
I'm poor as fuck. I just thought that just sounded a lot funnier than what it is.
Sweating's for poor people. She did not like to sweat. The girl was not fond of getting hot and sweaty. So she had joined the track team, and which I thought was kind of weird that they had a track team for a 6-year-old, but you know,
whatever. Yeah.
But she quit that like almost immediately because she sweated when she
like ran. I don't want to run, mom.
No, yeah. So she joined the Girl Scouts because they offered indoor activities rather than being
outdoor
in the wilderness all the time. Yeah. But other than not, you know, being fond of outdoors, she loved to experience new things, and she would try and could make anyone laugh at any time.
Aww.
Yeah. And she's such a, like a, just a darling, sweet looking little 6-year-old girl. Like, you look at the girl's photo and it breaks your heart.
It's a very sad.
So Morgan's mother, Colleen, she was always, you know, busy with her younger siblings, as you can imagine, having three children under the age of 6. That's a handful and a half. And
she Morgan, was a single mom, too, at the point.
So on June 9th, 1995, Morgan and Colleen drove 30 minutes from their home in Ozark, Arkansas, to Alma, Arkansas, for a Little League baseball game that one of Colleen's friends' children were playing in. And Alma, Arkansas is a very small town. There was less than 3,000 in the population in 1995.
Right.
And it's known as the spinach capital of the world.
Oh, shit. Papa would be proud.
Hey, guess what? There's a giant bronze statue fountain of Papa the Sailor Man.
Really?
In their town.
We need to go to Ozark.
He's holding a can of spinach. And it's pretty cool. You can Google it and find it. It's actually kind of cool looking.
It wasn't like a normal Little League game. This was like the biggest Little League game at the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I don't know if it was necessarily that it was big or there's just a small town.
There was like 300 people there.
Yeah, there's not much to do. And there were 300 people in attendance at the field that night.
That's a lot of people.
The town has been described by people as a town where everybody knows everybody. You know, you've heard it's a small town. Everyone knows everybody. You know, blah, blah, blah. Well, Wofford Field was the baseball field that they were playing at. That is spelled W-O-F-F-A-R-D. I think I'm saying it right. I don't know.
If we ain't, just tell us.
So they get to the ball field, and Colleen meets up with a few of her friends that she was there to meet to watch their kids play in the baseball game. It was a Little League baseball game. I don't know if I said that or not, but
yeah,
there was like children playing.
Right.
If you don't know,
typically, when you do Little League, basically you're sitting on the bleachers watching whichever kid that's playing play. And typically, all the smaller kids either are playing beside the bleachers, under the bleachers, or in front of you while you're watching the game.
Right.
Sometimes there's a spot that they can go to in an eye distance, and I'm thinking that's about how this happened. You know.
You would be right. So. The game went on for a while, and Morgan, who we have already talked about, wasn't a fan of the outdoors. She kind of got bored and became restless. She started trying to like play tricks on her mom by untying her shoes when she wasn't looking. So she was just like, you know, just playing around, playing jokes like a normal little girl would do. So around 10:30 p.m., two of the children of Colleen's friends that she was with, Jessica, which is a little girl, she was 8 years old, and a boy named Ty, who was 10 years old. So they were a little bit older than Morgan, because Morgan was 6. They asked if she wanted to go to the field next to the baseball field and catch lightning bugs.
Now, let me stop you real quick. In most of the baseball fields I'm in, I've seen this. There's always a big pile of dirt.
Sand dune. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a little, like a sand dune. Basically, the kids are running up it and it's like just a real big pile of it. It's either hard clay, dirt, and it's that really bright brown dirt that they use on the field. And you believe me, it's hard to get out of your clothes. I'll tell you that. I think every mother has been through this kind of situation that's led up to anyway, you know, basically, you know, has been in the same spot as Morgan's mother.
Yeah.
Where you're sitting there and you're watching a game. Yeah.
Parent has.
Right. And it's like, you know, you never know how fast things can turn.
And things will turn fast because we're going to talk about that soon, how fast all of this happened.
Right.
And also, I said lightning bugs, and I know that's not what everybody calls them. And most of America calls them fireflies.
Oh, yeah, fireflies.
In the South, I've always
I say lightning bugs.
Yeah, lightning bugs. So
it might just be like bugs. It might just be like where you're from, whatever you're from. I think
lightning bug is like a Southern thing, honestly.
Yeah, it sounds Southern.
Right. Lightning bugs.
So at first, Colleen was like, no, it's too late at night. We're not familiar with the area. Nah.
Right.
Not going to happen. So Morgan's friends started to like team up on her mom and was like, you know, begging her. And they're like, come on, come on, come on. You know, let her play. You know how kids do.
And didn't the her friends also tell her, everything's going to be okay. I let my kids go over there and play.
So Colleen was like, okay, if the other parent said that their kids go over there all the time, I can see they're in eye distance from me. Right. And there was a street light that was illuminating the area.
Right. So she can see.
Yeah. And she said, as long as you stay from to where I can see you, then you can go. So she hugged her mom and she ran off with her friends and they went to go play. And Colleen said that she would periodically look over and check on Morgan and, you know, make sure that she saw her. She said she had white tennis shoes on, so she was easy to spot. So around 10:45, the baseball game ended. And Jessica and Ty ran back to the bleachers to meet up with her parents, but Morgan was not with them. And let me remind you, let's go back in time a little bit. She didn't go to play with these other kids until 10:30 p.m. So between 10:30 p.m. and 10:45 p.m., shit popped off.
Right. The game ended in between there.
Yeah. Well, the game ended at about 10:45. But by 10:45, the kids were already running back to their parents and Morgan wasn't with them.
Right.
So whatever happened, happened literally in the blink of an eye.
Right.
When they came back without, it was, there were supposed to be three of them. Only two of them came back. So Colleen was immediately like, where is Morgan? And they said, oh, I think she was over by your car getting sand out of your shoes. And they said that they had all went over there to get sand out of their shoes.
Right.
And so Colleen ran over to her car. And I also don't even know if I'm saying Colleen the right way because I've heard people say Colleen.
Yeah.
Colleen ran to her car, but did not see Morgan anywhere in sight. She looked in the car. She looked under the car. Nowhere.
Right. Oh, my God.
The immediate, like, realization that your child is missing. Like, it's...
I think missing cases, I'm big. Missing cases, just, like, where do they go?
So, once she couldn't find Morgan herself, she decided to inform the baseball coach that Morgan was gone. So the baseball coach began to question the two kids that were last seen with Morgan. And whenever he started to question them more, they started to give up a little more information. I mean, they're kids, you know what I mean? They're not going to remember exactly everything off the bat.
But, right.
Well, they said that while they were getting sand out of their shoes, a creepy man, that's all they said, a creepy man approached Morgan and was like starting to like talk to her. And they also said that the man was standing next to a red Ford pickup truck. And police were called onto the scene, right? You know, after they found, basically are like, okay, well, somebody took her. We got to call the cops. So they called the cops.
Right.
The cops arrived to the scene in 6 minutes and began a thorough search of the baseball field and all the parking lots that were surrounding it, but found no sight of Morgan or this creepy man. So the police ended up conducting interviews with the remaining people that were still at the baseball field, and witnesses corroborated the description of the man and vehicle last seen next to Morgan. He was described by witnesses as a Caucasian male between the ages of 23 to 38. spoke with a hillbilly accent. I say that in quotes because that is literally a quote. He had a medium build, approximately 180 pounds, 6 feet tall. He had salt and pepper colored hair that was slicked back with a mustache and a 1-inch thick beard. The truck he was driving was a low wheelbase red Ford pickup truck with dulled paint and a white camper shell that had curtains on the inside covering the windows. That's like super creepy to me. The fact that he had curtains. Ugh.
That's creepy. Ugh. It's bad.
Yeah. So they also, witnesses also noted that the camper shell was a little too short for the bed of the truck and that there was some rear damage on the passenger side. So the kids were the ones that, you know, originally gave forth this description, but then
right.
adult witnesses corroborated it, basically.
Right.
And I honestly think that, like, I mean, we're going to obviously get into the details of this case, but just not knowing is, like, the worst part. Earlier in the evening that Morgan went missing in Alma, Arkansas, an unknown male driving a red pickup truck attempted to lure a four-year-old into his vehicle.
Right.
The child's mother quickly intervened and stopped the potential kidnapping, so it didn't happen. And I think by the time they called the police or something like that, you know, he was gone already.
See, what I heard about that, though, also, that four-year-old situation that went on, that was a custody situation. But they don't. It varies, so you don't know.
I don't think it's actually ever been like corroborated, like,
right,
you know, actually, like, for real. Because I tried to look that up because I had heard that and I couldn't find anything that was like for sure saying that that was the situation. But right. you know, with cases like this, a lot of people speculate, so
that's true.
And it's not true. This and these cases are not necessarily linked in any way, but they could be. Because it's kind of weird, you know, the same.
Yeah, I mean, town. That's like a cluster. That's known as a cluster.
Yeah.
Of kidnapping. So it's bound to be somebody wanting to kidnap a child and just not succeeding in it the first time.
Right. So the next day after Morgan disappeared, another report came through that a man that was matching Morgan's alleged abductor's description unsuccessfully tried to lure a 9-year-old girl into a men's restroom inside of a convenience store 15 miles away from Alma, Arkansas, in Fort Smith, Arkansas.
This is not a coincidence, you guys. This has to be the same. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe the first one was.
Not this second one. And so I'll go more into my theory about that, the second one.
A composite sketch was drawn up to show Morgan's abductor, and it was released to the media.
And he looks creepy as hell.
Colleen refused to go back to her hometown of Ozark without her daughter.
I'd be the same way.
She literally slept in a volunteer fire station next to the police station for the first 6 weeks after Morgan disappeared until she could find a place to live there.
And imagine her other kids not realizing what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, they're younger.
Realize what's going on. Yeah.
Right, definitely. And it's just hold your babies tight, man. This world's fucking crazy, even back in the 90s.
So Colleen made thousands of flyers with a composite sketch and the photo of her daughter along with their descriptions and plastered them all over Alma and the surrounding towns. Anywhere she could post it, telephone poles, put them on car windows, taped them up at the supermarket, like anything and anywhere she could post it. And
she wasn't messing around.
No, hell no, she wasn't. She still ain't messing around to this day. But Colleen ended up faxing over urgent letters to President Clinton, hoping to get the federal government to react quicker with nationwide bulletins when children go missing. And at this time in 1995, the Amber Alert system had not yet been created.
Right, because I don't think that crime had happened yet.
No, it didn't. The Amber Alert was named after Amber Hagerman, who was a 9-year-old girl from Arlington, Texas, that was kidnapped and murdered in 1996. And I'm pretty sure almost everyone has heard about this case. It's still unsolved, and that's what the alert was named after. But it also stands for America's Missing Broadcast Emergency Response.
Right.
Which is a fun fact, because I didn't know that it had like an acronym that went with it.
Right, me neither.
The Amber Alert. After the release of the composite sketch, over 4,000 tips and leads were phoned in to the Alma Police Department. And the police actually had to purchase a separate storage shed to file all of the tips and leads and all the information they had on them.
Oh my God. That's a lot. And then think about every little single lead. Every single lead they gotta follow.
But none of the leads ever came to fruition.
I always wonder how they get through all those like that though. How do they go search? How do they know?
I think they have to rule like once they get it, they have to rule out whether or not it's like specific enough. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe something like that.
That makes sense.
So Colleen eventually returned to Ozark to collect her remaining children and move them to Alma with her.
Right.
Because like you said, she was a single mom at the time.
Yeah.
So her siblings, which were 3.5 and 22 months old, they were too young to comprehend what had happened, obviously. Right. And Morgan's 3.5-year-old brother, Logan, often asked his mom, why did you lose my sister?
Oh my God.
Right. And then he would say, go back and get her. And which understandably broke her heart even more.
Right. She's been through so much.
Right. Because it's one thing, like, you know, you're missing your child. And then you have your other children who, you know, have created a bond with her.
Right.
And they're not old enough to understand. So they're like, why did you lose my sister? Basically. Right.
Like, what's going on, Mom?
Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, once they got older, they understood what happened, you know, because I can only imagine if that happened to one of my child, I would be the fucking hawk on every single one of my other remaining children that I did have.
Yeah, me too. I would like to hear a perspective from the kids now.
Right.
How it was like
growing up
after the fact. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a good documentary.
Well, 1 year after Morgan's disappearance in 1996, Colleen created the Morgan Nick Foundation in Alma, Arkansas, which is a nonprofit organization that tries to help prevent children from going missing, but also offers resources and a support system to families who are facing the hardships of a missing child. Mm-hmm. And following the creation of the Amber Alert in 1996, mm-hmm. the state of Arkansas honored Morgan by renaming their Amber Alert system after her. So in Arkansas, it's known as the Morgan Nick Amber Alert.
The Morgan Alert?
The Morgan Nick Amber Alert. So it's not like the Morgan Alert, it's the Morgan Nick Amber Alert, I think.
I know, but if I lived in Arkansas, I'd be like, there's that damn Morgan Alert going off again.
Right.
You know how we... And then there's always that one, you know how that... I'm always the one at the party somewhere. You know how that happened, right? And I go into a long story awkwardly about what happened to Amber and...
Right. So in 2001... Unsolved Mysteries covered the case, and they released a new composite sketch of Morgan's abductor, as well as an age progression photo. I say photo slash sketch because it's not really a photo of what Morgan may look like at 12 years old. And this is where we're going to get into Unsolved Mysteries, because I have several. Well, I'll say several.
She's got some beef with you, Unsolved.
Which I hate, because I fucking love Unsolved Mysteries, but they fucked this case up. In more ways than one. And the reason why I say they fucked it up is because, maybe they didn't fuck it up, but they gave forth a lot of information that was not true. Right. And we're going to start with the date that Morgan went missing. She went missing on June 9th, 1995. Now, Unsolved Mysteries, Robert Stack, rest in peace. Love you, Robert Stack, but you got the date wrong. They said July 9th.
Yeah, Robert.
Yeah, what do you guys say for yourself now, Robert? So they got that wrong. Then they also got, which I don't know like how they usually do the reenactments, but I feel like for a missing child or like a missing person's case, it needs to be pretty like by the book what actually happened. But for one, the little girl that played Morgan in the reenactment was not wearing the same clothes that Morgan Nick was last seen in.
Is that how they normally do it, though? Do they put them in the same outfit?
I don't know, but I feel like with a missing person, it should be like, you know what I mean? Like, because that's what you, yeah, she was last seen wearing this with this person. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
it's, yeah,
misinformation. So they had her wearing an orange top and white shorts, and she's actually wearing a green Girl Scouts t-shirt with blue jean shorts and white tennis shoes. So that's number two. Number three is they changed the last two kids that were seen with Morgan, they changed it up because it was a boy and it was a girl. In the reenactment on Unsolved Mysteries, it was two little girls.
Right. So they got that wrong.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's just literally like stupid
small
stuff.
Details that matters. It matters. The smallest detail matters.
The coverage on Unsolved Mysteries garnered a new interest in the case, and they received more thousands of cold leads due to the Unsolved Mysteries episode. But one tip that came in suggested that Morgan's body may possibly be located on a private property in Boonville, Arkansas. And the information was so specific that the police deemed it a credible source and initiated an immediate examination of the property on January 15th, 2002. After a full day of digging, nothing was recovered, and the investigation concluded at 9:30 p.m. that night. So nothing ever came of that.
That's wild.
So in 2005, Colleen and her children were the recipients of an extreme home makeover.
Oh, I remember hearing about that.
After their home was destroyed by a water heater explosion. I watched a long time ago.
That's dangerous.
Tony Hawk was in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How 2005 of him. But so they, you know, they received a new home and they had, you know, they made a room for Morgan and it was, you know, sad and everybody cried and, you know, all that good stuff. So
that is crazy.
Yeah. Fast forward to November 16th, 2010, a narcotics officer in Spiro, Oklahoma, which is 35 miles away from Alma, because Alma kind of borders the Arkansas and Oklahoma state line.
Right. So it's like just, it's kind of like how it is in Indiana. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. They alerted investigators to an abandoned trailer home belonging to a convicted child molester, an unnamed convicted child molester. This person's name has never actually been released to the public.
That's stupid to me.
Who it was. Exactly. I know. I think it is. But I have like my theories on who I think it is.
Right.
So he was serving time in prison when this happened. So the information that was supplied was not directly focused on Morgan's case, but the individual that lived in this trailer had been considered a viable person of interest since the very beginning of Morgan's case, and he had not yet been ruled out. So they had persons of interest.
I wish
they never really released who they were, you know?
I wish they say who it was.
Right. They had hoped to locate any sort of DNA evidence pertaining to Morgan in the home, but again, none was recovered. So this is another delete, basically. In June of 2012, an alert that someone had purchased Morgan Nick's birth certificate online gave false hope to Morgan's family.
Oh, man.
So they found out that it wasn't actually, because they thought maybe it was Morgan herself.
Right. Yeah. Because that's what I would think.
Right. Yeah. So they found out, they tracked it. They found out that it was a 24-year-old woman named Tanya Renee Smith. What is it about people named Tanya?
Oh, no, they suck.
Tanya's
don't come after us.
Around. Sorry if her name's Tanya. Tanya. But
sorry, Tanya.
I'm sorry, Tanya.
I never meant to hurt you.
So Tanya Renee Smith, 24-year-old woman, tried to assume Morgan Nick's identity by purchasing her birth certificate and other vital documents on a website called Vital Check. She had once served time in a Louisiana state prison. And on August 2nd, 2012, Tawny was arrested in Branson, Missouri, and she was extradited to Arkansas, spent 120 days in the Pulaski County Jail.
And then, how they know that wasn't her? Did they DNA her?
Did they DNA? Girl, you'll know. If you see a photo of this girl, you'll know it's not her.
Oh, okay.
She looks like this.
Oh, my
God. She's all, like fat and ugly. I don't know.
Oh, shit.
I shouldn't say that, but...
that's why we got edit.
Well, I shouldn't say that, but she also shouldn't have tried to fucking steal Morgan Nick's identity. So, statement stands. And I'm fat, so I'm allowed to call her people fat if I want to. So, in 2015, she was charged with computer fraud and sentenced to 6 years of probation and ordered to pay a $2,500 fine. So, that's the end of Tawnya. And then in December of 2017, another seemingly crucial tip led investigators back to the abandoned trailer home in Spiro, Oklahoma, that they had searched 7 years prior. The FBI was also involved in this search, as well as numerous cadaver dogs. They spent the entire afternoon looking for evidence. You guessed it. They didn't find shit.
That's sad.
I know. Like, just the ups and downs.
Where is she? Like, where is she? Like, oh my God. Like, where is she? That would drive me insane as a mother.
I mean, I really don't know how her mom's still breathing, honestly.
Does her mother still reside in Alma?
Yep.
That was the last place. She'll probably always live there.
She ain't going nowhere else. Now, that's where that's where the foundation is based, too. So,
yeah.
But Colleen has never. And will never, and I believe that wholeheartedly. She will never give up.
Right. Hope
that her daughter will come home one day. She stresses that in every single interview I've watched this woman.
Yeah,
give.
She's
like, I know one day I will look my daughter in the eye and say, I fought for you every single day.
And I never stopped. Right.
Yeah. And she says, whenever she was interviewed on Unsolved Mysteries, she said that she wakes up every day hoping that today will be the day that Morgan comes home. And when she goes to bed at night and she hasn't found Morgan that day, she knows she is one day closer to seeing her daughter. She goes through the motions. Just with like a crazily positive attitude, I feel like. You know, like she just stays so positive and so hopeful that, you know.
She's going through all that pain is just sad.
Yeah. And just her hope against all the odds is admirable, I think. Not a lot of people could handle that. And so she says, this is a quote from her. She said, no one else has to believe it because I believe it enough for everyone. I think that there will be people who will be amazed when Morgan comes home. And I'm going to go back to her father for a second because I could not find much on her father at all.
Right. That's what I was wondering.
And so I was like, well, I guess maybe he just isn't in the public eye as much as Colleen is. Because I did some crazy shit. I was like stalking her siblings on Facebook and stuff. I was trying to find her father on Facebook. Or find anything about him really. And I was like going through, like, I was like searching her fucking sister's wedding photographer to like see if I could find the wedding photos and see if her dad was in any of them. I just crazy shit like that. But I couldn't find anything. I could not find anything. Every photo of like a family photo of them in the past, you know, however many years, it's just Colleen, her son, his wife. And their children, and then his daughter and her husband and their children. No father anywhere, which I can assume, you know, in a divorced home, there's not, you know, that many family gatherings. But see, the thing that, like, that makes me think that he's still in the background of all this is the fact that, like, her mom will post, like, letters to Morgan, and she'll say, like, dear Morgan, you know, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And sometimes she'll sign it, love mom and dad.
Right.
And then sometimes, like, she'll she'll like say, you know, something like your father and I have never stopped looking for you. I don't think he's not in the picture. I just think that maybe he's not like on the front line and in the public eye as much as her mother is. And I haven't, you know, I haven't found anything to
and
like.
Some people are like that. They're not going to be in the public eye.
Right. So I don't know if I said this earlier. I think I might have left this part out, but Morgan, I said she loved cats, obviously. She had a cat. Yeah. Did I say that she had a cat named Emily?
Yeah. The one that she got from the shelter.
I didn't say it, but I meant to. she adopted a cat from the shelter when she was little.
And it was like the most ugly thing, they said.
I didn't think it was ugly. I thought it was kind of cute.
Did she say it was the most like sickly, or that's what she wanted? Was,
It kind of looked a little sickly. But what's so sad is that, okay, her mom said that her cat waited 19 years for Morgan to come home. And then she died of old age.
Aww.
That's so sad.
I don't know. It's so sad. Like, I was just.
It's nice, though, because Colleen has kind of carried on her daughter's love of cats. And now she takes in stray cats to live at the Morgan Nick Foundation facilities.
Aww.
So they have, like.
It's all,
five or six cats just roaming around the office, you know, doing their thing, which I think is great. Because, you know.
I do too. I love it. I love when they have animals just out and about, like it ain't no big deal.
That's cool. That the next generation of employers need to implement that into their everyday operations. All right. We want animals at work, guys. So take note.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Chelsea, the host of Crime and Crime Again. On my podcast, I cover lesser-known true crime cases. I tell the stories that you may not have heard before. Join me in bringing light to the stories of the missing and murdered, and being a voice when their own has been silenced. You can find Crime and Crime Again anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Today, the Morgan Nick Foundation is still going strong, having brought over 40 children home since opening in 1996.
That's great.
I'm almost done with this. I know this has been long. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
I was telling Dusty, because I was telling him, I was like kind of like doing the story to him last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I just feel like this is a very long story, but it's not very compelling, and there's no answers at the end, you know? So it's kind of like frustrating, but.
So it's better to theorize. What do you think happened?
I'm not done yet.
You know? I know, but I'm saying.
Like, I'm literally like, I have this much left, I promise.
Oh, no, you're fine.
And then theories will start flying.
I think that's what makes the episode great, is at the end we'll be able to decide what makes our mind, you know, be the way it is. Because like me, we have to find a solution to something, or we think about it, obsess about it. So I think that
I've been obsessing about this shit for damn near 20 years, Brandy.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever gonna end. I'm 28. I was 8 when I found out about this crime. So God, I feel sorry for myself having followed it so long with no answers.
It's crazy.
It is. So the Morgan Nick Foundation works directly with law enforcement as a liaison between law enforcement and the victims' families, which provides law enforcement with more time and resources to focus on finding the missing person. So they don't have to necessarily worry about like consulting the family and, you know, being support system for them. That's what the Morgan Nick Foundation does. So it actually is helping law enforcement by giving them more time and resources to spend on actually finding out what happened. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I know what you mean.
So, who else better to, you know, counsel you on a missing child than someone who has also lost their child?
Right. Who can, who understands what the other person's going through, empathy, and can put themselves in those shoes, because she's been there.
She's been there and she's still there.
Right, yeah.
So it sucks. So in 2019, a local couple of Alma, Arkansas, named Steve and Rebecca Gain, offered a building of theirs that they had for $1 a year rent to the Morgan Nick Foundation, which gave them the opportunity and the space to expand their services. As they've been wanting to do this for a while, and this local couple helped them move into a building, which I don't know if you've looked at any of the YouTube videos or if you've seen any. There's a few videos on YouTube where they like do like a tour of the facility. It's so nice. You would love it. Like the way you love like the farmhouse
look. Oh, like, yeah. I've seen the pictures. Yeah.
I see the way it's set up. You would love it.
I thought, damn, that's a nice desk. That's what I thought when I seen it.
Modern farmhouse is what I would call the decor.
Yeah.
In that building. But so in 2020, the Morgan Nick Foundation expanded, and thanks to a large grant, they are now able to fund the resources needed to handle missing adult cases as well as missing children.
Okay.
So up until 2020, they only dealt with missing children. Now they deal with missing adults as well.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, they have a bell in which they ring the bell every time someone is brought home. And they have this wall that's called the recovery wall. And they put, like, you know, they hang up the posters of the missing people that have been recovered. And they have, you know, so it's like when the people that work there walk in, it's like a constant reminder of like why they're there and what they're, you know, they're doing something that makes a difference.
Right. So I'm not yawning because I'm bored. I need you to know that.
You're fine.
I think I'm just sleepy.
I'm sleepy.
Not because you're making me sleepy, but you know what I'm talking about? Like,
it's been a long day. I know what you're talking about.
When I'm not reading, it's like when I'm not reading a story, because I have so much, because I'm ADD, I have so much focus. Like when I'm reading a story, I'm telling it.
Right.
Sometimes when I'm not the one telling it, I have to be like, stay awake, stay awake, stay awake, because your voice is soothing.
But talk you to sleep.
Yeah. You're like one of those people's voices that could, you know, you put on if you want to listen to a podcast, sleep. Me, I'm not so much. Yeah,
I never picked up on that. I'm really pissed that no one ever told me I had a nice voice until this year.
Right.
Because I could have had a fucking whole career and shit by this time.
Same for me, because a lot of people, I think I have different voices. I can change them.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of do that, oh, hello, how you doing? Kind of thing.
Yeah. Your 900 number voice.
Yeah. A customer service.
So as you were, I think you were talking about this earlier, they now provide resources and education to children and parents on online safety, stranger danger,
right,
all kinds of stuff like that. Okay, so every year in Alma, Arkansas, they have a 5K walk/run fundraiser, and it helps provide extra resources for the Morgan Nick Foundation. Morgan's family continues to search for her, even though more than 25 years have passed. As of 2021, a filmmaker named Devin Parks is working on a TV docuseries called Still Missing Morgan. And they have not been, I think they might have wrapped filming already, but they are like still shopping it around to different streaming services to see who wants to like distribute it, which I'm hoping it ends up being like a Netflix thing, because that could be really good for her case.
That would be very good for her
like case. A Netflix document, because the way document
because Netflix maybe somebody
because the way that like cases just like shoot back into the fucking headlines,
and I'm telling you,
is a Netflix documentary about it. So, the filmmaker, Devin Hart, he is asking the public to submit photos or videos that were captured on or around the time of June 9th, 1995 in Alma, Arkansas.
Okay.
They're specifically looking, they said that they're willing to review any photos that are submitted, but they're specifically focused on reviewing photos from that specific night at that baseball field, Wofford Field.
Right, that you never know. It might just be right in somebody's pictures. You never fucking know.
Like, even if she survived for a while, You know, she could be in the background of someone's photos or something, you know, even if it didn't happen.
Or what if
at that baseball field on that night, it could have been after that.
What if that creepy guy was just a creepy guy and he walked off and he really did not kidnap her? And it was actually somebody else that kidnapped her and got her while she was by the car.
Like someone that was at the baseball field?
Yeah, somebody that's a predator undercover and didn't look like nothing and probably had her in his car tied up some way, somehow. Maybe it happened too fast.
Yeah, that could.
I'm about to shoot off 10 million theories.
They think that photos that were captured that night could help investigators piece together what happened to Morgan. And it's possible that Morgan and or her abductor were captured on film that night. And this could hold the missing piece to the puzzle.
We need to look into that because I feel like I wonder if there's like a way to see anybody that had those pictures. You would think as big as
I'm thinking once the documentary is released, they might show, like release the photos to the public maybe. I don't know how many submissions they've gotten though. So that, you know, it also depends on how many they got.
Yeah.
The baseball field, Wofford Field, that she was abducted from has since been converted to a parking lot for a sports complex that is right around that area. Today, Morgan would be 32 years old. No. And the chief of police in Alma, Russell White, says that Morgan Nick's case still to this day is one of his most active cases. There are two people that are assigned to Morgan's case, and that is their only case that they are assigned to.
I could see that.
It's just so weird that this long after this has happened, they're still getting that many. Like they said, they're getting leads every single week almost.
Damn, because every time as a new person could have been there, you know, you never know. You could have been at that ballpark and left and didn't turn on the news for a while. And went,
right, and maybe, then 20 years later be like, oh, shit, I was at that fucking ball game.
Right.
You know?
Anybody. A homeless person could have been walking around, didn't know much about the TV. Right.
I just wanted to note before we go into our theories, Morgan has 5 visible molar caps on her teeth. And she was last seen wearing a green Girl Scout shirt, blue jean shorts, and white tennis shoes. Okay, are you ready to talk theories?
Yeah, let's do it.
You want to go first?
So, yeah, I think that she was dead that night. I think that when she was kidnapped, that she was probably hid so she wouldn't be found. And I think she succumbed to her injuries while being hid, maybe suffocated. Something, or maybe he went back and raped her and then killed her. But
she was actually murdered by the person that killed her, or the person that killed her, the person that abducted her.
I think if she did die, then yeah, I don't know. I felt like she, like maybe that night she was gone. I just have that feeling. I don't feel like she's still with us.
You have that feeling because that's usually what, like, the statistics say about, like, a missing person.
Normally, in cases like this, when I go through and I listen, I have an emotional connection to. I can feel, I don't know, maybe I'm probably wrong, but I just feel, like, a strong sense if they're alive or if they're not. And this one just, I mean, she's already past her age. And I know case that J.C. Dugard, I understand the Cleveland kidnappings. I get that. But there's, like, no physical sign of life. Like, none. And it's already been 20-something years.
Yeah.
Usually, and they could have been, you know, Stockholm Syndrome. She could have been, she was a young girl, 5, and, you know, reprogrammed. And that's, she could, true, be living on a farm somewhere. And you'll never know.
But she could maybe not even remember her identity.
Right.
I mean, it's possible. I know she was 6 years. I have memories of when I was that age, but I also wasn't put through trauma, you know, on a daily basis for 20 something years. So the brain's going to, you know, do different stuff.
When she may not even know who she is. She may not even have to go out and do normal shit in life. You know, she could be old enough that she's just hanging out on her farm and shit. You never know. But I don't think we're ever going to find out. I think we're never going to know. I think it's always going to be a mystery.
God, I hope not.
I think that, and it's sad. I don't want it to be like that, but I just feel like with all the technology we got going on, it's 2021. I feel like if we was going to find her, we would have already found DNA something. And I know they collected all the cigarette butts from the scene and did all that, but
that was also something I could not corroborate either.
Really?
Yeah, I just think super hard for that, and I could not find anything about them collecting any sort of, which I'm not saying they didn't, but I'm just saying I couldn't corroborate it myself.
I honestly just think that she's no longer with us. If she died that night, I think she was sexually assaulted and discarded. And I think she was discarded so good because of all the media that nobody is ever going to find her. And I think this might have been may not have been his first time doing it. I think that's why, or his last. And I think that's why they need to go back and find missing person cases for the next couple months. Spread it out, not just in Elma, but spread it out. And I bet you it would find a traveling pattern. Because if it's the same, you know, perpetrator, and the next day he was already looking for somebody else, then that just tells
you
me.
You can almost guarantee that he was successful in some other attempt that he made.
Yeah, and like I heard today, he was on a power, he could have been on a power trip by doing it, so you know, and getting away with it, that he wanted to try it again.
Right. Yeah.
So it makes sense. Like, it's sad. I wish it was different. I wish they'd find out. But see, in these cases, you want her to be alive, but then you really kind of like wish she wasn't because of all the fucking trauma she probably had to go through. You know, yeah. I'm pretty sure her mom wouldn't care. But think about.
I mean, you think for her family's sake that you would want them to have.
I mean, she's already a whole nother person. Like, she could not even remember her mother. Yeah. She could probably walk. You never know. Like, and then it's just kind of like, it's sad all around. It always shocks me. Like, it always makes me think, like, where do they go? How does a whole person go missing? Like, just missing cases in general frustrate me because there's no end at some level. And you think, and it's years before anything's found, or even if anything's found.
And even if they're not, like, found alive, it's like you can't even find the body. And that's,
or you don't. And then there's more guessing because you find the body, but it's been so long that there's no evidence on it.
Yeah, that's another thing. They could find her remains, and they could obviously, if she was killed shortly after she was abducted, it would be nothing but bones at this point. And
they're not going to know how.
They're not going to be able to find the cause of death for that usually.
Or how do you know she didn't live past 5 or 6 and was murdered later on in the teenage after he got tired of her? You know, you never know. And now they're looking for.
The bone structure would tell that, right? I mean, like when they found the, you know what I mean? They found the bones, or the remains or whatever. They'd be able to tell what the age of the child was. Obviously, they'd be able to identify her by dental records, but they'd be able to tell what age she was when she passed away.
Wouldn't it be sad if she was like 10 or 11?
Or like 25?
Yeah, or that.
You know? Yeah.
Or like very even worse.
Like that. Just things like that is just so sad. And it's like, her mother is so strong. And I say that because, you know, losing a kid would probably be the worst thing every mother fears. You're never supposed to bury your kids before you, you know. And I was reading some stuff on Reddit. And this woman said that she went to, like, some antique shop in Alma one time, like in the early 2000s. And on Reddit, she said that. And she turned it in as a tip, of course, but she was going through in this little antique shop, and in the backyard was a red truck with a white thing just broken down back there in his yard. And she thought, well, that's kind of weird. So, and she at that time didn't realize, you know, didn't know the whole story about Morgan Nick and all that. She just remembers seeing that truck thinking that's a weird place to have a truck back there when nobody can see it. That's just strange.
Right.
And
then
as she's going around, she sees, you know, she sees stuff here and there, and then she leaves. Well, like a couple months passed, and then she heard about the Morgan Knit and made her rethink. But that guy also ran the funeral home next door. So, and she turned the tip in. But to me, if that was the case to go down to, there's the truck. He could have easily cremated her, or if it was somebody.
Funeral home, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's why we've never found her body. But I'm pretty sure they looked at everybody.
Horrible.
That'd be really horrible.
Yeah. Well, this isn't necessarily a theory of mine, but there's some notable similarities in a few other cases. There was a person whose name is Dennis Earl Bradford. And mm-hmm. he was like a child molester, child assaulter. Type. I don't know what you call him. And he bared a striking resemblance to the composite sketch. And I don't know if you've heard of this case, Jennifer Schuett.
That does sound familiar.
You'll probably know what I'm talking about once I tell you about what happened. I'm not going to go like too deep into it. I'm just going to give you like the, you know, basic detail of what happened.
Right.
August 10th, 1990, she was kidnapped from her bedroom window
in
Dickinson, Texas. She had gone to sleep in her mom's bed, and then her mom woke up.
Moved her to her room, right?
Yes, moved her to her room because she had to work in the morning and she, you know, needed to get some sleep or whatever. So she went in there and she like started reading. She had like a light turned on next to her bed and she was reading a book until she fell asleep. Then next thing she knows, she wakes up and she's being carried by a man she doesn't know into a car.
Yeah.
And then she was raped and her throat was slashed from ear to ear and she was left in a field to die.
And she lived.
Yes. And the next day there were kids playing hide and seek and they found her body.
Yeah.
And he was not brought to justice until like 17 or 18 years later, when the DNA that was taken from her rape kit was finally able to be entered into CODIS and they found a match. And it was Dennis Earl Bradford. So he was arrested in North Little Rock, Arkansas. Hold on, let me check and see where.
Yeah, look at the map for that.
Arkansas is 83 miles.
Oh, well, boom, right there. We got the killer, man.
It's like, it's like 83 miles. From
we solved this. This is solved. Right.
This is solved.
I mean, if you have one guy who's fucking murdering kids and shit, and has he ever stepped or talked about it?
Well, he was arrested in North Little Rock in October 2009, and he was found hanging in his cell in May 2010. And many people... Right. Many people have speculated that he was the child molester from Spiro, Oklahoma, that his trailer was looked into in connection to the Morgan's case. It's speculated. It's never been necessarily confirmed. They said that his father's obituary was his father lived in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Right.
Which is probably like five, I think it was like 5.5 hours away from Spiro, Oklahoma. So, I mean, it's not like right next door, but it's still in the same state that his father was living in. So a lot of people believe that was him. And I would love to believe that she's still out there. I really would. But I just don't know. But then I think the fact that nothing's ever been found, I think.
Right.
Because her body hasn't been found, that must mean that she's still out there somewhere, you know?
Just not found,
That's what her mom says, is that no one's been able to prove to her that her daughter is dead. So until someone can prove to her that her daughter is dead, she's not going to stop looking for her.
Yeah, she's going to believe she's alive, and that's a good thing to have.
Yeah, but like, I mean, statistically, the statistics are against her. And yeah, J.C. Dugard, she was in captivity for 18 years. Elizabeth Smart was in captivity for less than a year. Cleveland Kidnappings, they were in captivity for 11 years. Sean Hornbeck, have you ever heard of him?
Yeah, Sean Hornbeck.
He was he was in captivity for over 4 years. And then another one, Shostagroni, have you ever heard that name?
No, I haven't.
Her family was murdered, and then she was kidnapped by the murderer. I can't remember what his fucking name was. But, and she was... found like I think a year and a half later.
Is she an indigenous woman?
Denny's,
like
in a Denny's restaurant.
Is she an indigenous woman? Like
no. She actually looks a lot like Morgan Nick. She's like a blonde haired, blue eyed little girl.
Little girl. She survived.
She survived. Yeah,
because she told the waiter that her name.
Yeah. And then the waiter went and called the cops and she was found. And that story kind of had a sad ending to it because she kind of turned out really bad. I think she's like really bad off drugs and she was in, she had some like child neglect charges that came about later.
I mean, look what happened to her. Shit.
Right. I mean, yeah. But, and then another person I want to talk about for a second is fucking Sylvia Brown. Do you know who that is?
Oh, God, I hate her. I hated her when she was alive.
Thank you.
She's horrible. She was a horrible medium, for one.
Yeah, if you don't know, she was a psychic / medium, whatever the fuck you want to call her. And she was on the
Montel Williams. She just read people's fucking body language. That's all she did.
She was on the Montel Williams show. Yeah, obviously she wasn't a psychic. I don't really believe in psychics.
Who'd she tell they were dead? Oh, one of the Cleveland killing.
Amanda Berry's mother. She predicted that Amanda Berry was dead. And then that basically led her mother to give up and die, basically. Yeah, she died 2 years after Sylvia Brown predicted that Amanda Berry was dead. But guess what? Right. Amanda Berry wasn't fucking dead.
Right. Amanda Berry was alive.
She also predicted and told Sean Hornbeck's parents that he was dead.
I hope and she he died was a found whole alive day. Too. Yeah, she was real off.
I didn't. That bitch pissed me off, and I really hope
she pissed me off too.
I really hope that that's not like a thing that like talk shows are still doing these days.
Yeah, you know, because we're like, not. I know
that's fucking with the person's like, and most people think, you know, they don't believe in psychics, but some people do. And some people are really going to take what they say and think that it's true, which is what happened in Amanda Berry's case.
It's, you know, what pisses me off about it is that they give them people, you know, the people just breaks their hearts over again.
Right.
Because they're looking for anything. So they'll grasp at anything to have a feeling. Yeah. To have somebody believe them
that their daughter's still alive. Super fucked up. Montel Williams, if you're listening to this, you're right, super Montel. Fucked up for paying Sylvia Brown however much fucking money you paid her to come on your talk show and tell these fucking abducted children's parents that they were fucking dead.
Right.
Fuck you.
Who Montel the fuck Williams. Does that?
And fuck you, Sylvia Brown. So there you go. Yeah, fuck That's you, my Sylvia fucking Brown. TED Talk. That is my TED Talk for the day. Fuck you, Montel Williams.
Hey, we did really good on the cussing.
I'm sorry. Fuck you and your fake ass fucking psychics, okay?
Yeah, Sylvia.
They've ruined more lives than they have saved.
I got beef with you, bitch.
Okay. So, if you don't have any other theories, we can wrap this up.
Yeah, well, I really hope that one day we find the answers so... You know, it's just not a mystery and that Colleen can get some closure. Right. That's my hope for this case. Yeah. And I hope they come out with the documentary because I think that that would be great too.
I know. I can't wait to see that. I really hope it comes out soon. But I have a little call to action before we sign off here. If you have any information on the disappearance of Morgan Nick, please call the Alma Police Department at 479-783-5195. And you can also submit photos or videos taken in Alma, Arkansas on or around June 9th, 1995 by visiting www.stillmissingmorgan.com.
Yes, and if you want to get a hold of the website, it's the morgannickfoundation.com and their address is P.O. Box 1033, Alma, Arkansas 72921.
Yes, and you can also donate by visiting the morgannickfoundation.com/how to help. Exactly. And I would very, very recommend if anybody is looking for a foundation to donate any money to donate to the Morgan Nick Foundation because the work that they're doing over there is selfless and it is very super important in saving lives of our children and of ourselves, basically. So I can't say enough good things about the Morgan Nick Foundation.
I think everything they're doing is correct for the, you know, day and time now that is helping people find their loved ones. Even if they don't, at least they have a support system that's lined up that can help them. And you have Colleen, who physically went through it and is still going through it, who can relate, you know, who can relate to the people and what they need. And because she can remember back to what she needed and what she didn't have and what she did have, you know. And I think that's going to help her. And it's just that altogether, the Morgan Nick Foundation is a great foundation, like you said, to donate to.
They also have an Amazon wish list. I don't know directly how to get to it, but you can go to their website and they have a link to it. They have different, you know, supplies, office supplies. They have like kitty litter because they have cats that stay in the facilities and stuff. And it's just a great foundation to donate your money to.
It has an internet safety curriculum and it's called the Firefly Project. And you can easily go on the Morgan, you know, Nick Foundation website and click on it. And basically, it's just going to give you a curriculum of basically an overview. Like, the internet is one of the single most biggest factors affecting the children and their safety in society today. And it goes on and tells you more things you can learn about online safety and what it is to, you know, basically to help, you know, kids stay safe online.
Keep your kids safe online. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we here at Easy Killer,
that's what we need.
And want you to keep your children safe. And we want you to keep yourself safe because we don't want to have to report about your murder or abduction.
Basically. Right. We just want to keep everything easy, killer.
Heard that.
All right, you guys. Thanks for hanging in there with us and listening to the Morgan Nick case. And just remember, if you have any information to tune, you know, turn it over to the people that needs to hear it.
Yep. And we will have photos and go along with this story on our Instagram page, Easy Killer Podcast.
Yes, we will. And make sure to check us out on Facebook at Easy Killer Podcast. And we have merchandise. And we also have two YouTube channels, basically. So you can go to either one you want to go to. Whichever one you feel good at, just stay there or click on them both. Subscribe. That's what we need. If you can, do me a favor and go rate us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you listen. Find a way to rate us and download us because that helps us in the long run. Also, we have a new website up and you can also reach us at that website.
You can find it in our Instagram bio.
Yep. And it will be
doesn't have the direct link at this moment because I was.
And it will be right. And it will be linked to everything that we are associated with, so you can find it.
It is in our Insta. If you go to our Instagram, Easy Killer Podcast, click on the link in the bio, it'll take you to see everything you need to see. Website, merch.
And Haley worked her butt off on it and did a great job with it. So we need to give her applause for that. And also, we're on TikTok.
Yeah, we're on TikTok.
Tickety talk till the clock don't stop. They need to let me on TikTok. I'm too old to be on there.
Me too, I swear.
Have a nice night.
Have a good one. Take it easy, killer.